This is Radio Free Pro Wrestling, your home for smart and stunning wrestling debates with lifelong wrestling fans, Sean and Ashley. Let the debate begin.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. Welcome to this episode of Radio Free Professional Wrestling. Yes, I am Sean, and I'm with my CEO, apparently CEO of Radio Free Professional Wrestling, Ashley. Ashley, how you doing?
I'm doing okay, Sean. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. I feel like we have a lot of stuff to talk about from a action-packed week of professional wrestling. Do you not agree with me?
Yeah, a couple of big things going on this week.
And no time than the present to go right to our Stunning Six questions to get us caught up on the week that was professional wrestling.
Time to ring the bell as Sean and Ashley debate six stunning questions from the week of wrestling. All the whys, and what the hell was that?
Okay, Ashley, we're going to get to what the hell was that really soon here during these stunning six questions. We're going to talk about this. But my first stunning question for you, going back to last week's episode of WWE Monday Night Raw, they had a gauntlet match to determine the number one contender for the IC title, who will face Gunther at WrestleMania. There was two fan favorites that could possibly win this match. One was Sami Zayn. The other one was Chad Gable. So they went with Sami Zayn to be the winner to face Gunther at WrestleMania. During the week after this match, there has been a lot of backlash to that decision because there's a lot of Chad Gable fans saying he had the better story to go against Gunther. So my question, Ashley, who would you pick?
This is a very tough call. Sami has very much earned a spot at WrestleMania, and he has earned like a shot at the IC title. And it's not to say Chad Gable hasn't earned it, and he's arguably almost more deserving of having less opportunities. I think it's very tough to kind of cut back when the decision for the fans to kind of sway for Chad Gable has been sort of recent. It feels like it would be tough to kind of switch courses from what they had already planned, which was obviously for Sami to win and to go against Gunther. I mean, there's still a chance they switch, but I do think that would be unfair to Sami, who has, like I said, more than earned this spot.
Okay, so going back to this match this past week on Raw. Okay, actually, it came down to Sami Zayn being Bronson Reed. Bronson Reed comes down with a big tsunami on his way out after he lost his part in the gauntlet match. Chad Gable gets the ultimate babyface thing. He helps Sami up to his feet. He waits to Sami get his bearings, and they have a excellent closing segment to this gauntlet match. I was waiting for Imperium to come down to make this a smaz, to cause this match, and Gunther come down and go like, well, you know what? There's nobody who won this gauntlet match. I don't have to wrestle at WrestleMania. I still have my title. Thank you very much. Then you would have the either Nick Aldis or Adam Pearce come down and go like, well, my friend, you just did the dumbest thing you could possibly do, because now it's going to be a triple threat at WrestleMania, and you're going to face Chad Gable, Sami Zayn. Now, we did get a triple threat at Mania, but it's for the U.S. title, and that's going to be Logan Paul versus Randy Orton and Kevin Owens. Thank you, Nick Aldis.
I don't know how a lot of people would feel about it, but I'm certainly not against 2-3-way matches, even for titles, especially with those kind of caliber. I mean, you could still kind of tack Chad Gable onto this match.
That's what I feel like. I mean, we're recording before tonight's episode of Monday Night Raw here on Monday night, March 18th. So there's a possibility. We'll see what happens next week on Radio Free Professional Wrestling. But let's go to my true number one question of the week.
Yeah, you threw me off going before.
True. Okay, so my original number one question of the week was, should the WWE add Bray Wyatt to this year's lineup for the Hall of Fame class, as his father and his uncle, Barry Windham, Mike Rotunda, better known as the US Express, are going in this year? And Ashley, I gotta say, they need to put Bray Wyatt into this class because it makes all the sense in the freaking world.
I would agree. Obviously, with the family ties and everything, that would be perfect. And they usually do induct like one person, you know, post-hospital.
Yes,
I can't say the word.
Possibly.
You know what I mean? So I could certainly see, like, especially like the WWE fans certainly making a case, because he's, I would say, one of the most beloved performers in the past, what I say, what, like 15 years in wrestling.
I would have to agree with you, Ashley. I feel like there's nobody out there with a bad Bray Wyatt story. Everybody loves this guy. He seems to be like one of the true class acts in professional wrestling. And to me, you already got the dad, you got the uncle, you're going to have a whole family there in Philadelphia. He needed to make this happen. I feel like this is the story they need. This is a story us wrestling fans would love to have, because we can share them all the love in the world on this one night, that Friday night before WrestleMania. I got a feeling that it's going to happen.
And it should. Like I said, like, just so tragic anyway. And then this would be like kind of like the perfect way to kind of honor him and what he contributed to WWE.
Exactly. And there's a new documentary that's going to come out April 1st on Peacock, and it's narrated by The Undertaker. So that might be a sign that they're going to swing it around and let Bray Wyatt into this class.
I think that would be the right call.
Okay, so we're moving on to my second stunning question, or technically my third stunning question, since I couldn't count this week. And my third stunning question for you, Ashley. How bad of a blow is David Finlay's stretch from the New Japan Cup to New Japan Pro Wrestling and us wrestling fans? If you haven't been following the New Japan Cup lately, coming into the semifinals, David Finlay is going to face somebody on Saturday morning, America time here. And I got up, I was going to watch the match, and they announced that he was a stretch. He has some kind of health issue. He was being looked at a local hospital, and he's been pulled from the last two New Japan cards. We want to wish David Finlay all the best. We want to see him back in the ring. Actually, going into this cup, I thought he was the odds-on favorite to win the cup.
It kind of makes sense, too, because with the way the finals shaped up, it kind of felt like maybe there was an audible. I'm not against it, but this is really awful for David Finlay, who I feel is like maybe finally getting some traction after, you know, winning the global championship, having the great like cage match that he was a part of, kind of running with his heel character, the match with Nick Nemeth. He was kind of on a roll. So this is kind of just awful for him. So obviously, like you said, we wish him the best and hope to see him back soon. And it sucks, but if he can make it back, I know that he's not losing his spot. You know, they've carved out a spot for him, and they intend to push him, it seems.
Granted, I don't feel like this is going to be a downward trajectory of David Finlay once he comes back. It's just, unfortunately, bad timing, because it really felt like they were, I just feel like they were building him into the next challenger for Naito and that title.
Definitely would have made sense. Like you said, awful, awful timing. Hopefully he can recover. And we know Naito's kind of tied up with Moxley coming up soon. So maybe he can get back and go after him after Moxley and after the New Japan Cup winner. Because it seems like maybe they'll have to hold off and push it back a little bit until Finlay can get back if they intend to put the belt on him.
Hopefully this all works out in the end. But it did kind of let the air out of this New Japan Cup. Actually, honestly, having the House of Torture anywhere near this NJP Cup has been letting the air out every freaking night. We'll get that to later on Radio Free Professional Wrestling.
Okay. I certainly have my thought.
Trust me, some of these matches are coming up in my top five matches of the week, and we'll just go ahead and have our House of Torture rant then. So moving on to our fourth stunning question of the week. Ashley, should AEW be worried about the ratings coming out of AEW big business? If you were underneath a rock or somewhere in orbit around the earth and you didn't watch AEW big business last Wednesday night, we saw the debut of Mercedes Moné, and now they projected the viewership to be basically like the same from the week before. It was 798,000, and in the demo, it was a 0.27, so it was up slightly 2.4% from the week before. I feel like we talked about this the night of AEW big business. We thought we just have to wait and see how this plays out. We got this big show coming up in Toronto where they have stacked this card again. We're going to preview that for you before we leave tonight on Radio Free Professional Wrestling. Ashley, what are your thoughts about ratings? Do they really matter?
To somebody, I'm sure. It's not me. I don't know what they would need to do to spike ratings for them. I don't know if it's possible. It sucks to be stagnant, but if everybody is kind of okay with where they are, I'm hoping that this kind of new marketing technique they've been doing, the more like they've had more wrestlers out doing press for the shows in the past few weeks and things like that. I'm hoping this kind of stuff starts to show some more results as we go, especially now that everybody knows that Mercedes Moné is there. So even the people who maybe aren't attached to, you know, wrestling news going on are like, oh, you know, there she is. She is there. And maybe that could help in the next. I'm not exactly sure anymore. I just don't know what would turn the tide at this point.
Okay, so personally, I was thinking about over the course of the week, I feel like they became prisoners of their own success when they did the big special AEW Dynamite in Chicago first dance, where they had CM Punk, and they hinted, just like they did for Mercedes Moné, they hinted that, oh, hey, you need to watch this because we have something special. The only difference here is CM Punk was like 7 years removed from the last time we saw him in the ring. Unlike Mercedes Moné, who we've seen in New Japan Pro Wrestling, we've seen her in New Japan Strong. So we've seen her. We haven't had this big, long gap where, oh, I wonder what Mercedes Moné's been doing. I wonder if she's still wrestling. Oh, wait a minute. She's on my TV. Is she wrestling again?
Yeah. Like I said, I don't know. It feels like no matter what they're trying at the moment, it's not really generating more views. But I just don't know how relevant the actual live ratings are anymore with things like YouTube TV, the TNT app, DVR. Like, I don't know how much stock is really put into that. I know if it, you know, dropped to like a ridiculously low number, they would be worried. But I mean, it seems okay, but it is concerning that it hasn't, you know, gone up in any substantial amount of time.
Well, if this was like 10 years ago, if this was like, say, 2010, I feel like we would be a little bit more wary for AEW and the fact that they did get this big boost from having this big debut. But it's 2024. People's viewing habits are totally different than what traditional viewing habits was when the rating systems came out. Honestly, I feel like the rating systems is really to the point where it's almost archaic. You got DVR, you got YouTube, you got all these other cutting the cord things. So you really need to put all the numbers together to get a true factor of seeing exactly what your fan base, what your audience is. Because honestly, true. A lot of people probably didn't watch AEW Dynamite Live. They probably watched it Thursday afternoon when they got home from work and hit the DVR and went, okay, cool, time to watch wrestling.
And genuinely, it's for all of wrestling. Like, I would say the same for like Raw and SmackDown and things like that as well. Like, we talk about like what they got live ratings, like even if they have like a 1.9 million or something like that, like overall they probably had way more than that, because there's, like you said, like apps, there's streaming services, there's all sorts of ways to get around and not be included in that.
Exactly. So we're going to move on from this question. We're going to my fifth standing question of the week. And Ashley, we got to talk about the AEW Tag Team Tournament. And I do have a visual aid for us in this factory. So allow me to present to the court Exhibit A for us. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your AEW Tag Team Tournament bracket. Ashley, what do you think of this bracket?
So prior to the Continental Classic, there was a lot of talk about these very predictable and almost like why bother type of brackets for AEW tournaments. The Continental Classic broke that streak. Everybody was very excited. It did great. And then we immediately went back to what everybody hated about AEW bracket. Even with the upset that we had, that's not going to last, you know? So like it's going to stop somewhere. So I don't understand this bracket. And I certainly am a little bit baffled by the first round of the tournament.
Well, in the first round, we have the Young Bucks versus Private Party. So fine, that's a good matchup. We have the Undisputed Kingdom, who will face either Best Friends or Powerhouse Hobbs and Kyle Fletcher. On the other side of the bracket, we have Big Bill and Ricky Starks versus Top Flight and FTR. And congratulations to the Infantry. You got a victory over the House of Black, and your reward is you're facing FTR. Anybody taking Infantry over FTR? Raise your hands. No, I didn't think so.
I think the Infantry are a great tag team. We see them a lot in Ring of Honor. I understand continuing the feud with House of Black and Mark Briscoe and stuff and continuing that. Then I just don't know. Just don't put House of Black in the tag team tournament. You could have just kept that out of the tournament. It's a very strange bracket for a promotion that almost prided itself on its tag team division.
Exactly. I mean, like, remember we were talking about 2 weeks ago where I was making up, like, weird tag teams, like Eddie Kingston and Daniel Bryan. I was sure, like, that was going to be something in this bracket. You know what? The one thing I'm happy is Lion Hook isn't in this tournament. You got your wish. Chris Jericho and Hook are not in this tournament.
Praise be.
You could fill this bracket out with more tag teams than what they did, and it would be a better tournament.
Yeah, I don't understand. I mean, it feels like they're kind of fast-tracking it for Dynasty, but it still just feels like very, like, kind of haphazardly done, because there's a lot of tag teams that we sort of know are not going to be advancing. And there's a lot of, like, great tag teams, and it's like, we have Private Party, and we have Top Flight in there. Like, I wish, like, the thought was crossing my mind that that would be the finals. But I just don't know if it's possible.
I mean,
I feel like it's FTR Bucks is going to be the final.
I do believe so, that that's going to be the possible final here. I can see a possibility of Top Flight being Ricky Starks and Big Bill, and then face FTR in the semifinals, and we get FTR defeating Top Flight, and we get Young Bucks defeating Private Party in the first round. What does it do for two young tag teams? How do they get a victory here?
I don't know. Like, I certainly know, like, we've seen the Young Bucks. They're not afraid to put over Private Party. They've done it before in the inaugural tag team tournament, in the tag team championship tournament. But I wouldn't be completely shocked if it happened. But I just feel like this is all building toward FTR Bucks. I think we're on 4.
And yes, it's going to be a great match. We're going to love this match.
Yeah.
We're just saying that they could have done a better way to put this bracket together, so it's not so see-through paint by numbers.
Exactly. And like I said, that's been the complaints with these types of brackets in the past. So it's kind of disappointing to see them go right back to it.
Well, we'll see how this tournament advances, and we'll probably be talking about this a few weeks here on Radio Free Professional Wrestling. My next stunning question for you, Ashley, stunning question number 6, and the final stunning question. What do you think about the WWE letting Shayna Baszler work Josh Burnett's blood sport during WrestleMania weekend?
Hey, you know me. I think this is awesome. This is very cool and not something we see done often by WWE. So I'm, you know, she has ties there. So it's very awesome that if she's maybe not going to be used so much there in the capacity, that they're allowing her to do something this special.
See, this is the perfect idea. If you have a talent that's not going to be on the WrestleMania card, not going to be on the NXT card, you're in the city. There's so many different independent groups who come to WrestleMania week. This is their biggest show of the year. And this is a brand new corporate WWE underneath the TKO banner. What better way to help out a promotion? And maybe you can scout some talent there while you're having Shayna Baszler at this show. So I like to see more of this. And I feel like Shayna Baszler in this environment is going to be freaking amazing. And it may just make me buy Josh Burnett's buzz sport.
Yeah, no, like I said, this is very cool. This is the kind of stuff that I think not all WWE fans, but some WWE fans have kind of expressed, like, they wish, like, wrestlers were able to kind of branch out and maybe go somewhere else if they're not being so much used on TV like they do in AEW. So maybe it is kind of like a little take there from AEW to kind of be like, maybe this is okay to kind of, like, at least test the waters with this, and feel like maybe this is an extreme but very cool way to start it.
Well, the other way I was thinking about this, Ashley, is I know Shayna Baszler is one of those, or Triple H peoples, so I feel like she went to Triple H like, hey, can I have this favor? And Triple H is like, okay, cool, you go do this, that's fine. So this might be a case of right place, right people, and this is being like a one-off. We'll have a wait and see. And that has been our 76 questions here on Radio Free Professional Wrestling for March the 19th, 2024. And Ashley, it's our favorite time of the week. It's our top 5 matches of the week.
It's Sean and Ashley's top 5 matches of the week. As they count down their five favorite matches from the past week, did your favorite match make the cut?
Okay, so I kind of accidentally foreshadowed my number one match of the week. We'll get there just in a second. And that's what happened when I got my study six questions out of order. But let's go to my number five match of the week. And Ashley, you're going to be surprised. I have picked Jack Perry versus Sonata. It's a New Japan Cup quarterfinal. And 90% of this match was good until about halfway through the match. Like you always say, it's a House of Torture match. You know how it's a House of Torture match? You see the referee get knocked out. You get to see every single member of the House of Torture get their shot at on Sonata. And Sonata, doing his best John Cena impersonation, overcomes the odds, and he beats Jack Perry. What have we done to Jack Perry? I thought this was going to be a good heel run for him in New Japan Wrestling, but they put him with House of Torture. I was going to give him a second, and I don't know. House of Torture makes everything awful.
Truly, I hate so very little in professional wrestling that House of Torture stands out so much right now in particular. It's insane. Wait till you watch the semifinal matches later. Evil versus Yota Tsuji almost, I thought, was going to make my blood pressure blow through the roof today when I was watching. I'm genuinely very sad because this Jack Perry turn was something I was very excited about, and the character seemed very cool coming into New Japan, and we immediately stuck him with something that I can't get into for the life of me.
Well, let's just go ahead and announce your number five match of the week. What was your number five match of the week?
All right. I snuck this one in because I did get to watch the semifinal matches and the New Japan Cup from early this morning, technically. But one of the semifinal matches, Hiroki Goto in Sonata, which I feel may have been the match that may have been shifted, kind of like two very good wrestlers, but I don't think guys who are considered like show stealers or anything by that nature. But I thought a very good match, and I was kind of surprised by the outcome.
Well, go ahead and give us a spoiler alert here. Who won the match?
Spoiler alert, so I will say that. But Hiroki Goto took it. I kind of thought with the kind of ongoing Los Ingobernables and Just Five Guys feud that we would maybe shift over to Sonata versus Yota Tsuji, which would have kept that going, but maybe they're not ready to have one of those guys lose yet, is kind of my feeling. But kind of a very cool win for Hiroki Goto, who it was like announced that his father passed away recently. So seems like kind of an emotional win for him.
You know, my second pick to win this New Japan Cup was going to be Sonata, and now I have zero picks left in this tournament. So now I'll just be watching as a fan because I will not be trying to pick the final now.
I mean, Hiroki Goto is no stranger to winning the New Japan Cup, so it's not like completely shocking, but I definitely felt like I said with the Los Ingobernables and Just Five Guys like continuously feuding, like Yota Tsuji kind of leveling up from Yuya Uemura to Sonata, the leader of Just Five Guys, kind of would have made some sense.
True. Well, my number four match of the week came from AEW Big Business, and I picked Rio versus Willow Nightingale. It's the lovely main event. If you sit there and watch it just by itself, and a lot of people gave it a lot of crap because it was the main event of this big Dynamite card. If you could go and watch these ladies wrestle in the ring, it's a damn good match.
It's a very good match. And I hate when people act like they don't understand why something is happening. Like, there are times where, like, we can all be confused. Like, there are times where something is happening and we don't get it. But this was, it certainly made sense as to why this was the main event. It was the main event so they could get Mercedes Moné out there to close the show. That's all. Like, it's not that deep. It's not, like, anything that serious. And like I've said in the past, AEW has done a pretty great job of making the opening match as an feel, at least most of the time, as important as the main event. So I feel like sometimes they're interchangeable. But this, like I said, was just meant to have Mercedes Moné open the show, kind of be sprinkled throughout the show, and then close the show as their newest acquisition.
And hey, the side effect of her debuting on this episode is these two ladies got the main event, and we got to see Julia Hart and Sky Blue interact with the biggest acquisition of AEW in the last month or so, because I mean, they added with Ospreay, they added Okada, but on the women's side, they added Deonna Purrazzo. Now we got Mercedes Moné. They are stacking this card up and this roster now. There's no excuses. This is the best professional wrestling roster in North America and maybe the world. It's that damn good.
It is like an embarrassment of riches at this point.
So, Ashley, what is your number four match of the week?
All right. So, number four. I never get to throw many Rampage matches on there, but I thought Konosuke Takeshita and Commander had a pretty great match. Konosuke Takeshita had just been impressive since day one. And Commander, I feel like sometimes he's a little too fast and sometimes maybe gets caught up, but I felt like the chemistry with Takeshita was there and they had a really great match.
You know, it was a fun match that got to display Takeshita as this big freaking monster who got to throw around Commander like a freaking ragdoll. And Commander got some of his spots in, but he went to make that walk across the top rope to the springboard, and Takeshita caught him and dropped him like a dime. And I was like, damn, it's a good match.
Yeah, no, Takeshita is, I feel like they're building him the right way, and I can't wait to see him. He's doing great as a heel.
He is. And you know what? Don Callis, the best thing to happen to Takeshita is having Don Callis as his mouthpiece. It's perfect. And you know what? We got so many favorites here in AEW and on Radio Free Professional Wrestling. I know we like Swerve Strickland. I know we like Jay White. But Takeshita, he's a future world champion. He needs to be.
Yeah, definitely.
Well,
you kind of waved Takeshita back to back, and I was like, oh, I need that match now.
True. Okay. My number three match came back from Dynamite. It's Jay White versus Darby Allin. Yes, it broke my heart. See, Cicero Guns go away, but it's the return of Hill Jay White. And oh boy, did he lay into Darby Allin. And hats off to Darby Allin. He wrestled most of this match with a broken freaking foot. Remember when we were talking about how good he was selling? Now we know why. His foot was freaking broken.
This guy, I don't know what he's trying to do to his body, but I'm sure it hates him. He's still gonna go climb a mountain soon. So I don't understand what he's doing. He's nuts. But like you said, this was a very good match, and I am as sad as I am to kind of see kind of oddly charming babyface Jay White go. I am very happy to see kind of greasy douchebag Jay White make a comeback.
Well, I'm hoping this leads him up the card till we see him challenge for that world title again. And you know what? Jay White is so much better as a heel, even though we did enjoy disingenuous, super sappy babyface Jay White. We saw it. Now we're on to the real Jay White.
Exactly. And I think it's for the best.
I do too. So, Ashley, we're going to go to your number three match of the week.
All right. So, number three. From Collision, we saw finally, the in-ring return of Kyle O'Reilly. And he looked very determined to prove to either himself or to us that he was okay.
You know, it's been 2 years since we've seen Kyle, over 2 years since we've seen Kyle O'Reilly in the ring. And I was watching this match live, and I was going, please, dear Lord, let's get Kyle through this match, because it was so hard-hitting. It was so good. I feel like these guys were backstage. They watched Shibata versus Brian Danielson, and they're like, we're going to go out there. We're going to do just like that. And they did like that. And I was like, fingers crossed, Kyle Wright be okay. And he was. So, hey, great match.
Genuinely, anytime somebody comes back, like when Trent Beretta came back and, you know, like stuff like that, it's like kind of like the same like feeling like anytime they take like a bump, especially those first few. But he took some pretty big bumps, and especially like some big like moves where like, you know, the neck would be like the obvious spot that was being affected. So looked very good. And I like the kind of continuation with the Kingdom guys coming out and kind of celebrating with him. And it still feels like they're still trying to lure him into the group.
Yeah, it's like, hey, congratulations, Fran. We're still here. Just want to congratulate you. Just remind you, we're here. We're cool. And I feel like we're slowly going to get this Kyle Wright going like, yeah, I kind of need to go back with the Kingdom. I need to be with my boys, and we're going to have the family to be completed.
Yeah, I feel like that's what it's going to. But I kind of like the slow burn to it.
I do. I feel like this is going to be more. I mean, like, I know we all want to get there. I feel like this is this a different way to get to the it, same story. We're just taking a couple more chapters.
Exactly. If we just told a story and it was just boom, here's the end. There's no story. You know, like if you want storylines, we have to have a story.
I mean, we could have had Kyle Riley debut, take the shirt, put the shirt on, then just lay waste to whoever was in the ring with the Kingdom, and been like, okay, we got a new member of the Undisputed Kingdom. What do we do now? We don't have this whole welcome back, Kyle. Kyle's a babyface. We get to enjoy Kyle as a babyface for a moment before we go down the path, the dark path to him being a heel again.
Exactly. It kind of gets to spotlight him and give him his moment to return and kind of soak in everything and then, you know, join his friends and kind of be a dastardly heel after.
Exactly. And this is my number two match of the week because it was so freaking awesome. So we're going to go to Ashley's number two match of the week. And here we go. Ashley, what is your number two match of the week?
All right. So from some big business, we had the Elite, the Bucks and Okada taking on Eddie Kingston. And finally, again, another return this week, the return in-ring return of Pac and along with Penta. And just nuts. Stuff all over the place. Young Bucks tactics. I cannot put into words how happy I am to see Pac back.
You know, you don't realize what you miss until you don't have it. And Pac is so freaking good. And just him in this match, getting these hot tags, and him just running wild, and just him facing down Okada, teasing this Okada versus Pac match that we're going to get at some point this year. And we need to, Tony. Wink, wink. We need to. This was a damn good six-man tag.
My brother is not really so much a wrestling fan. He occasionally catches some AEW stuff with me, and he was over on Wednesday, and he was kind of watching, and that match was on. And when Pac hit the Black Arrow, my brother was like, holy shit. What was that? It's like, just one of the most impressive displays of athleticism you'll see.
Exactly. And you know what? Arnold mentioned to his match on Collision, him versus Aaron Solo, a good squash match, where we get to see Pac give Aaron a good probably 90 seconds to 2 minutes of offense. Then Pac just kicked it on. And Tony, he's looking for trouble. And if I was trouble, I'd be packing my bags and getting the hell away from Pac. So, Ashley, that was your number two match of the week. My number one match came from last week on Monday Night Raw. And I kind of foreshadowed it early in the show when I messed up the Sunday 6 questions. But it was the IC Gauntlet match. This was a fine gauntlet match. It was a main event. It lasted about 40 minutes or so, the last 40 minutes of Raw. And even with having two baby faces at the end and Chad Gable and Sami Zayn, I thought they told a good story. They told the story of Sami having to go over the odds, having to face so many people. And the last person he has to face is the most beloved character right now in WWE. It's Chad Gable. We all know the story that he came oh so close to being governor for the IC title while his family was in attendance. His young daughter was there and the daughter cried. Governor made fun of the daughter crying. So to me personally, Chad Gable had the best reason to have the main event at WrestleMania with Gunther was get the revenge on Gunther for making his daughter cry. But we're going to get a damn good match with Sami Zayn versus Gunther. So, hey, you know what? Great wrestling leads to another great wrestling match. This is what Radio Free Professional Wrestling is.
Like I said, I don't think they're really done with maybe tacking him on to the end of that match.
You know, I got my fingers crossed. I feel like we are still about 3 weeks away from WrestleMania. It's all possible. So,
very much.
Ashley, if I remember like last Wednesday night, I sent out a tweet saying, I kind of know what Ashley's number one match of the week is going to be. And you know what? You did not disappoint me whatsoever. Ashley, what is your number one match of the week?
So, yeah, Collision. Bryan Danielson, Katsuyori Shibata beating the hell out of each other. Oh, my God. Ow. Their necks looked gross, honestly, at the end of the match.
Okay, so this is a match a few years ago we probably thought we would never see in our lifetimes as both these gentlemen were told, hey, you should not be in a professional wrestling ring. It may not be the best for your personal health. And I'm so happy both these gentlemen have been able to get back in the ring, been able to do this safely. Do this so freaking good. This match was freaking awesome. And they started Collision with this match. This was your opening match for Collision. If you were late to the show, I felt sorry for you because this was so damn hard hitting. Then the sitting down cross-legged and taking turns slapping the beef out of each other. I was like, I want to go get an Advil after this match because I felt the slaps.
Truly. Just vicious shots. And like you said, to even kind of get the opportunity to see this match, crazy. And it feels like they both went out and were kind of told they were never going to wrestle again and have both come back arguably almost better.
True. I mean, like, I remember watching that New Japan card where they had the special match with Shibata and his trainee where they couldn't do so much. And Shibata kind of like, okay, that's cool, but I'm going to do some stuff. And he did some things just to see if he could do what he can do in the ring. And he's like, okay, I can do this. Then we saw him versus Zack Sabre Jr. the next time out. And that was a more of a professional wrestling match. And now fast forward, he's all elite. And Tony Khan has been giving him match after match. And we just got Brian Danielson versus Shibata. There's so many people in this company. I want to see Shibata wrestle now. Claudio Castagnoli versus Shibata. Kyle O'Reilly versus Shibata.
Oh, yeah. That would...
That would bang. Claudio versus Shibata would freaking bang. Hey, you know what? This poorly put together AEW tag team tournament could have done so much better with Brian Danielson and Shibata as a tag team.
Oh, that tag team, I think, would just be too much. It'd be like everyone else would have to call it quits.
I just want to see them have, you know what? I know we're coming to Dynasty. I know there's some matches that probably won't happen with the Blackpool Combat Club. I love to see Claudio and Danielson and Shibata in the six-man tag versus the Righteous or the House of Black. That would be freaking amazing.
Man, versus House of Black would be good.
Very, very true. So, ladies and gentlemen, that has been our top five matches of the week here on Radio Free Professional Wrestling. Please go back and watch these matches because they were the best in the week of professional wrestling. And we have one more segment for you before we leave this evening as we bring you our On Tap as we look ahead to the most loaded AEW card since last week. But hey, you know what? They're giving us banger after banger episodes that we're going to talk about here on the show. So, Ashley, as we're talking about AEW in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, this is a card headlined by probably the biggest match for us in Eddie Kingston versus Ezekiel Okada for the AEW Continental Championship. I know it's going to be hard for you to pick a winner here, but does Okada leave Toronto with a belt?
It feels like there's a chance that could happen. I don't know if they'll have Eddie take this one and like rematch it at Dynasty, though. I'll say four right now. I think Eddie retains, but I think Okada's going to get a rematch very soon. I think maybe Dynasty, but I can see a rematch in the future.
Okay, so I'm going to take the cheap way out here. I'm going this match ends in a double disqualification, and we get to see Pac, Penta, and the Young Bucks all come down to this ring, and we get to see what we saw last week in the six-man in this championship matchup. And this is how you get out of this match where you don't want to give Okada his first loss just yet. And you don't want to take that belt off Eddie Kingston. Now, if you want to take the belt off Eddie Kingston, that's fine. That's cool. He still has the Ring of Honor World Champion. He could easily go over to, I don't know, on our club and wrestle the ROH title on an ROH show, maybe? Wow, that's an amazing idea.
A novel concept, indeed. That's probably the smarter play, honestly. I was figuring that, like, I don't see Okada taking it just yet. I mean, they don't shy away from changing the title away on like Dynamites or Collisions, though. So it wouldn't shock me. But I definitely see like something happening, whether it's like there's some shenanigans and maybe Eddie picks up the win because of that, or even Okada wins because of that. But I definitely see maybe I feel right now Eddie retains. But like I said, like a rematch for Dynasty or even maybe something further down the road.
Okay, I agree with you. I remember when this match was first announced, we were talking about, hey, this is going to be on AEW Dynasty. Yeah, Tony, we're giving you $50. Then we're like, well, wait a minute, you giving this for free on Dynamite? Okay, sure, why not? Yeah, we're going to say nothing. Nope. So, We also on this card have the I Quit match where we have Christian Cage versus Adam Copeland, and Adam Copeland on Collision open up the case, and now we have Spike. Yes, it's a 2x4 with a ton of freaking nails in it. It reminds me of Janice from TNA, and I'm going like, how are you going to work this into a match? I know it's an I Quit match, so no disqualification. You do whatever you want to make the person say, I quit. So my question to you, Ashley, who's saying I quit here?
Christian better say it now, looking at that thing. I feel like this is maybe the time where we switch it and we put it on Copeland, and he actually gets in like an actual title run instead of, I don't know, 13 seconds holding the title before he loses it again. I think Copeland's going to take it. I feel like it's going to be like the big, like, you know, like hometown moment for the babyface.
Well, allow me to play counterpoint here. You know what would be even more heat for Christian Cage, if you think Christian Cage needs any more heat, is to beat Edge, Adam Copeland, in Toronto. And we send Adam off for a little bit. And eventually, yes, we're going to get them together as a tag team, both of them being babyfaces, facing the Young Bucks probably somewhere down the road in 2024. I'm all here for it. I'll co-sign that. But just maybe, I'm not ready for Christian Cage to lose his title because he's one of the best things on AEW TV. Sorry, Edge or Adam Copeland.
No, I get it. Like, Christian has been great with this championship, and I don't know, like, immediately what you would pivot Copeland into with it. So, unless outside of him doing something like the Cope Open with it, I kind of maybe want to see Christian keep it.
Well, we'll see here. So, let's go back to our card, and we could talk about the tag team match as we got Toni Storm and Mariah May versus Deonna Purrazzo and Fronda Rosa, who was her senior tag team partner until we saw on Collision she announced Fronda Rosa as her partner. Ashley, Deonna Purrazzo picked one dang good partner. Now we have a damn good match.
Yeah. Very excited. I'm very happy, like, to see Thunder Rosa kind of get back on. It feels like she came back from the injury and kind of has been like here and there. I'd love to see her get more involved in this storyline.
I do too. Now my question for you is, which team takes the pin here? Because I don't want to see Talents Toni Storm and Mariah May start that road to being broken up yet. I don't want to see Thunder Rosa get pinned yet. So that only leaves Deonna Purrazzo being the person to get pinned here, in my opinion.
I don't know. As much as it sucks, I feel like I don't know who's going to win. I feel like maybe Thunder Rosa takes the pin and for the team, but I don't know. I could see Toni Storm and Deonna have been doing a lot of submissions. I could see like maybe a submission coming in.
Well, I thought maybe you get some miscommunication between Deonna Purrazzo and Fronda Rosa, and we spin them off into like a side feud for a bit, and we revisit Deonna Purrazzo versus Toni Storm down the road, and maybe Fronda Rosa can win that Deonna Purrazzo side feud and work her way back to the title that she never lost, and we can see Toni Storm versus Thunder Rosa.
That kind of sounds perfect, honestly. It's kind of a way to keep everybody kind of relevant on TV with something going, and definitely would love to see Thunder Rosa be built. Like she said it this past week in her promo, that title that she did not lose, she's looking for it.
Very true. So next on this card is the match that you probably don't want to even want to be on this card, but we'll talk about for just a second. It's Chris Jericho versus Hook. And we all know that if Ashley was in Toronto, she would make sure that Chris Jericho would lose this match. She would jump over the rail, hit him with a steel chair, hit him with the steps. Security would be leading her out of the building, but she'd be happy because she cost Chris Jericho the match.
I'm not even sure. Even reading like some of the stuff that like from like the past shows and stuff, he's not even getting like the great reaction that he was. I feel like they kind of did him a disservice the past few weeks using the Lionheart theme, as opposed to like, I feel like the one thing that sort of keeps him engaged with the audience right now being the Judas theme. I feel like it's just been a struggle for the past few months for Chris Jericho, and it seems that a lot of the fan base is on the same page. So I don't know. I think I want Hook to win. I think you're just going to have Hook win and give Jericho some time away.
You know, there has to be a way for Hook to win this match. It's the only outcome that makes any sense because he's the talent that you want to give that rub to. I don't know how much of a rub it is now with Chris Jericho, but hey, that's what they're trying to do here. So we'll go with the story. And I want to see Hook events more as a character instead of being this quiet second generation talent who comes down and has that FTW title. I feel like we need to put that FTW title to the side, and he needs that actual AEW title.
Sooner or later, I feel like, yeah, he's going to have to go after something like even the like international or the TNT title. I feel like this had potential to be very good, and I felt like it would have just been better if Jericho had just been out for a while. Hook sort of built himself maybe to like a number one contendership spot, and then maybe that's when Jericho was like, comes back in and is like talking to him or something. But like with this kind of like nonstop start and stop stuff with Jericho, with all the storylines, like I said, getting kind of cut off through kind of all sorts of circumstances, just very much in need of a break.
We all are in need of a break because Jericho fatigue is a real thing, and you can tell all the symptoms. The symptoms are, one, you see Chris Jericho on your TV and you want to reach for that remote, you want to hit mute, or you want to change the channel. And I hate to say that, but he's got to the point where I want to do that.
Yeah, it's been rough the past few weeks, for sure.
Okay, one final thing we need to talk about this show here is they're announcing that we're going to hear from Mercedes Moné again. Ashley, what we need is an opponent for this lady. We need somebody to come down here and challenge her. We need advancement. We need to see what we didn't see last week on AEW Dynamite. Her getting more physical with somebody. Yes, she threw a punch to Sky Blue, and Sky Blue was a champ. She ate the punch for the team, and we saw her versus Julia Hart in a stare down. I love to see that be the first match. I love to see Julia Hart come down here and repay the favor and just ruin this talking segment for Mercedes Moné.
Sky Blue absolutely ate that punch. Nuts. She like ran right into it. I like you. I think that's going to be the first match. It seems pretty logical with the way they sort of left things this past week. So I definitely see maybe some more shenanigans and maybe the official announcement this week.
I just hope and pray that we don't go down the road of Mercedes Moné is here to talk next week like Tony Khan's ever-ending list of announcements. Because two is enough. We need some more stuff here.
Yeah. So like I said, hopefully like this will lead to like whatever sets up their match and we get the kind of announcement. That way we can, you know, it's only if we still got like a month or so till then, but, you know, want to kind of get things set in stone and get everything settled for what she's going to be doing come her first match.
Very true. But this is a special episode at AEW because right behind it is AEW Rampage. And one match we'll talk about there is the tag team match. It's a street fight with Chris Statler and Willow Nightingale versus Julia Hart and Sky Blue. This is going to be a dang good match, and I'm hoping we either see the babyfaces stay together and win here, or this might be where this tag team splits up.
That is a sad possibility, and I feel like it's eventually what's going to happen. I don't want it to happen, though, because I definitely love this pairing, and I love the group with Stokely Hathaway. But I'm just very excited for this match because I feel like anytime the women have kind of gotten the chance to do one of these, they have always killed it.
And I feel like this should be the main event of Rampage. It should be the last 20 minutes of Rampage. I know it's probably less than 20 minutes, but please, Tony Khan, give these ladies some time to have a proper street fight because they're going to knock it out of the building.
I was going to say, looking at it with only the two matches, I'm hoping it stays at that. Giving both of these matches a good like 15, 20 minutes and kind of peppering in like maybe some promos and some segments, I think would be like a really cool change of pace for like what we normally see on Rampage lineups.
Exactly, because if this was a normal tape Rampage, you know it'll be like four matches, two promos, and a video package in there all in 60 minutes. So Ashley, we're going to bring the show to a close here. Where can we find you on the Super Information Super Highway?
I'm on Twitter, and it's @groovy_ash_.
Ladies and gentlemen, you can always follow the show on Twitter @RadioFreePW. We're also on Instagram, TikTok, underneath the same handle. You can go over to YouTube, hit that like bell, subscribe to Radio Free Professional Wrestling to catch all the episodes. You can also go over to www.RadioFreePW.com to catch up on the episodes there. And ladies and gentlemen, until we see you next time for Radio Free Professional Wrestling, Ashley, top people out.
No, we got to figure something out now. We're all screwed up.
Yes, and I've decided that we are top people, so top people out.
I'm going to do like the pause like Dax, top people out.
Christina here. On behalf of the guys, thanks for listening. Like the show? Do us a favor and share it with a friend. Have a stunning question? Email it to the show at radiofreeprowrestling@gmail.com. Until next time, this has been Radio Free Pro Wrestling. Stay stunningly.